Thank you all for your patience. Finally have a quorum to start the meeting at 6:09. And we can start with the Pledge of Allegiance. So don't mind Mike. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. And are there any public comments? God, I didn't log in. Are there any public comments? I don't think we got any online. I guess Valerie is not, she hasn't received any, I'm assuming. Do we see any hands?
No one's got their hands up.
No hands. Okay. And just as a reminder, public comments are just that, a comment. It is not expecting a response at this time. If it does deserve response, we will get back to you in the future. Okay, no public comments. Standard order of business, we are, the minutes were circulated earlier. You've all had an opportunity to review them. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
I move we approve the minutes from the September 13th, September 20th, and September 30 meetings. I did get one edit for the 30 minutes and updated those.
Okay. And Joel seconds those.
Indeed, I do.
Is there any corrections? Any other corrections? Any other corrections? Any other corrections? Okay. All in favor to approve the minutes as amended? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, minutes are approved. Hi, Yasuyogiya. Welcome, Georgia. Okay. And now we have the head of school report. Yes. Thank you, Georgia. It's a little early for you, but thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
Appreciate it.
Share a little bit. What's going on? What have been happening at Odyssey Charter? Lots of good things going on at Odyssey. What we're focused on is our first goal is sustained excellence in programming. We do that through our walkthroughs and feedback sessions. We've done two walkthroughs so far. We did a walkthrough of the lower school and a walkthrough of the intermediate school. Walkthrough of the lower school was on October 2nd. Intermediate school was yesterday. Just to remind everybody, these are full walkthroughs. They're evaluations of the entire program, soup to nuts, starting from breakfast, starting from when the buses arrive, to how they enter and exit protocols, safety protocols, general operation, cleanliness of the building, procedures, operating procedures, routines, of course, academics, efficiencies within, for example, how long does it take them to get through the lunch lines and things like that? Is the food fresh and appealing? Things of that nature. We look at every single aspect of the student experience at school. I'm very proud to report that both in the lower school and in the intermediate school, we have seen a tremendous growth in the operation of the program, the efficiency of the program, the food service, the food. I mean, we went yesterday, we all wanted to eat lunch. I mean, it looked fantastic. And it was it 4 minutes and 30 seconds to get
through
35 seconds to get through the lunch line.
Nice.
Quite an impressive increase in efficiencies. The hallways are much, much improved. They're cleared out. As you can see, we're doing remodeling in all of the foyers and making sure that they are not only clean, but they are consistent branding throughout. So that's one of the things that we're seeing. Whatever we did in the lower school, which is kind of the prototype for our branding, is now being brought over to all of the rest of the buildings as well. So you'll start to see the pillars assigned by grade levels everywhere. By tomorrow on this side, you'll see new artwork up here. And on the front side, you'll see that seal that we have in the lower school. It's going to be in every single building. moving forward, so the branding will be consistent across the entire organization.
And that's happening in 2 weeks here. Sorry.
It's happening in 2 weeks here?
2 weeks here, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's happening in 2 weeks on this one. Marks is going up tomorrow, right?
Yes, yes. And the lettering on all the front of the bullets is coming, right?
So that's the purpose of the walkthroughs. Academically, what we're seeing is a drastic improvement in engagement in classes. Teachers are doing a phenomenal job creating engaging lessons, and we're seeing an improvement in behaviors in the classes. There's more buy-in, a lot of best practices. We were thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with what we saw specifically in the intermediate school yesterday across the board. In almost every single classroom, there was quite a high level of instruction going on. We saw the standards alignment that we talked about with the summertime. We wanted to make sure that we were following the standards, that we were aligned to the same mission and vision goals. We unanimously saw that across the board. It's quite an impressive walkthrough. So kudos to the lower and the intermediate school teams for doing all the heavy lifting over there to make the program look quite good and moving in the right direction, which is what we were hoping for. Eva, your class yesterday, gotta tell you, that was a fantastic class. That was a fantastic. Those kids are not immersion students.
Thank you very much. No, they are flesh.
As if they were. I did not know I had to follow up and ask. That was great.
Bravo.
So
thank you.
And I'm not just saying that because she's on the call. It really was startling. It was really good, really good stuff.
I appreciate it. I
wanted to also let you know, in terms of where we're moving, we have open house tomorrow, right? So big event tomorrow on the campus. We also have the groundbreaking ceremony for the field project, which is now actual reality. We're no longer talking theoretically about these things. These things are actually happening. So we're going to break ground. We're very excited to welcome the potential next governor for the first state of Delaware, who will be speaking at the event. Mike Meyer will be there for us. Sorry, Matt Meyer, I'm sorry.
Mike Meyer is kind of cool to have.
Very fun. It'd be funny if he was there. usually. So we have that happening tomorrow. We're very excited about that. And we're also excited about the 76ers event, which is our next fundraiser. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. That is on November 15th, which does have a conflict with the next board meeting. We don't have that much control over picking those dates. So fortunately, the 76ers schedule is not something they won't come around Odyssey's board meetings for us.
We're going to have a talk with them.
That is our Greek Heritage Night, and we're really excited. We really hope to have a lot of participation, including board members at that event. There's going to be a lot of wonderful things that are showcased at this event. We're going to have our orchestra playing on the main concourse. We're going to have our kids performing Greek dances at halftime on the stage where the teams play. They're going to be in the High Five Tunnel. The 76ers Foundation is making special shirts and hats for us, which is going to be awesome. And it's a great exposure for our school to the larger community that we serve. Last year we had almost 400, right? Mm-hmm. Almost 400 people there. Our goal this year was to get to about 450. That's what we're hoping for. We're already one of the top themed nights that exist. So it's really important exposure for our school. It's also a great fundraiser for our athletics department. So we hope to see everybody there. And there's a lot of work that goes behind that, a lot of meetings, a lot of planning and stuff like that to get these events together. We are all offering transportation from Odyssey for that. So it should be a really nice event. Other things that we just mentioned, our loan settled on September 29th. The fields are finalizing the contracting and scheduling. The preliminary site work is happening right now. We're also looking at the RFP for Building 27's renovation. Remember, we definitely are going to need more space for our school, because even as the program stands, just the proliferation of the program adding year to year is going to require us to have more classroom space. So we are going to need to have 27 relatively quickly. There's a committee meeting on October 24th for that. And I will also add that because of the fact that we have positioned ourselves in such a way in terms of the outreach, we believe that we are well positioned now to go ahead and make large asks of the philanthropic community. including the Longman Foundation. So we will be submitting our application for the spring this year for approximately $1.4 million ask that will specifically go to Building 27. Should we receive such funding, that would allow for us to then look at the next venture, which would be to actually go ahead and build that gym. So good stuff happened. Good stuff
happened. Can we go back a second? You said that we need to, we're moving forward faster with Building 27, that we need for that. What does that mean?
It's not, we're not moving forward faster, but we have to move fast because the immersion program doubled in size. And as those classes go up each grade level, we already built three new classrooms in the lower school.
We're out of space.
We're looking left and right. Where are we going to put the next cohort of kids?
Okay, that's it.
So it's got to get done relatively quickly. So it's not something that we could just kind of put off. The RFP committee's got to work. We're fast and push through this. We have the funding. Let's go.
Yeah.
And on my end, I'll do my part, go to Longwood and be like, join the party. We plan to have lots of people at this party. For hiring, we pretty much did a pretty good job of covering most of the vacancies that we have. There's still a little bit of difficulty with some of our special education, but we have made a nice plan on so everybody is receiving the services that they're supposed to be receiving.
We should be fully staffed with our contract spec ed teachers by the end of spring.
So it's been pretty good, and the teams continually work. We do have a new position that's opening up, and that is the fundraising coordinator position once again. After the gala, Grace decided she wanted to pursue different interests, and she didn't want to be in a marketing type of job. So we are going to be posting that position shortly. We also are looking for a food service manager currently. The team that's in place is doing a phenomenal job, as we saw at the gala. But we are in the process about to start interviewing that. So the pre-response questions were sent out. I just haven't read them. They're sitting in my inbox. I will read them and then process them this week so that we can have some finality there on the leadership team for those two positions. Culture focus, we talked about the great things celebrating tomorrow, starting, I'd say around 5:30 p.m. Our Greek Heritage Night that we talked about is on November 15th, so please get your tickets. The Parent Executive Council is looking for more parents to join, so contact Ms. Boney if you want to be a part of the Parent Executive Council. And our first parent camp is actually going to be on November 30th from 5:30 to 7:30. This is open to all families for us, so please keep that in mind as we kind of move forward. Now, in terms of the building level updates, we can have the deans do it or I can do it. Doesn't matter. Would you like to hear specifically from the deans?
It doesn't really matter if they have something that they prefer to.
Okay.
Dr. Phelps, if you're just going to go, you go first. Yes, go for Dr. Phelps.
What was that?
Dr. Phelps, you want to be up first?
Yes, go first. His parents,
I sure
there we
can.
Go.
I
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's a little feedback. Hang on. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about both lower school and intermediate school. I know we've mentioned before, we're really trying to align a lot of the things that we do across both lower school and the intermediate school with the idea that, you know, in typical settings, there are, you know, it's a full elementary school, K through five. So so first thing is DTGSS, which stands for Delaware Teacher Growth Support System. So we began, administrators began meeting with our teaching staff and other staff, including counselors, to go over goal setting for the school year, which includes both professional goals as well as student improvement goals. So we are just about wrapping those up this week. Next, we began digging through our iReady data and at the lower school, Dibbles data, just to determine where our student needs are as far as math and reading. Beginning next week, we'll be using our dedicated blocks of WIN time, which is what I need time, for students to receive interventions according to where they are in terms of English language arts needs and math needs as well. This past Friday, our teachers had some training on iReady, which included how to talk with students about data. So we feel like this is an important tool, being able to have data chats with kids, which kind of helps motivate and maximize support, you know, in how they grow in their ELA and math. As far as SEL and positive behavior support, at the intermediate school, we began our kickoff, PBIS kickoff events today. Ozzy the Owl was kind enough to join us. We sort of went through expectations, including teachers doing very comical skits on sort of what those expectations can look like in the hallway. And we really talked through with students what the system would be as far as earning OWL tickets to be able to cash them in for rewards, prizes. And at the end of each marking period, we're going to have a celebration of positive behavior. Students can cash in their tickets to attend. This first marking period, we have hired someone to come and do a magic show. So we announced that to kids today, which was a lot of excited faces, you know, seeing that we were going to have that coming to school in November. In terms of, well, I should also say we, at both lower school and intermediate school, we also had our fire safety presentations, you know, successful moving. In addition to the safety procedures, we've gone over with students, fire drills, bus evacuations, and we'll be doing lockdown drills as well. Typically, we inform families when these things have happened, especially lockdown drills in particular, just so that, you know, we know questions sometimes come up at home after these kinds of drills. At the intermediate school, we've got our safety patrol. Our patrollers who were selected were notified today. They will meet this Friday with the first day of school duty being Tuesday the 7th at 8:25. In terms of data, I'm going to pull up, actually, if we could click on that lower school discipline data. So this is Dr. Davis's, this is the data for the lower school. Let's see if it, can you click on where it's, no, let's see.
It's a little bit tough to, let me see if I can.
There we go, great. So at the lower school, referrals are down 67% from last year, which is great. I think they were very thoughtful in putting together a schedule that reduces traffic in some of the areas where there were problems. Certainly a lot of work that we've done as an organization around, you know, positively reinforcing behavior, building those strong relationships with students and increasing student engagement. You know, we know the best classroom management tool is a good lesson, and I think that's something we continue to focus on across the organization. We've had our code of conduct assemblies. We've this year share a student advisor between both the intermediate school and the lower school, which is Mr. Cohen. He had been doing half days up until this past week, and he's deciding to try out sort of one day at each school and alternating full day, just to see if that is more effective and tenable.
And what will he be doing?
So he's a student advisor. So he's supporting, you know, if there's a student having a hard time, you know, he might get a walkie call to come support in a classroom. He'd conference with the student, you know, if referrals are put in, he would, you know, contact the parents, sort of, you know, apply consequences, those kinds of things. So, so the lower school has 1.5 advisors, the half being Mr. Cohen and Dr. Yarm being the other one. And then we have Ms. Kelly Mervine and Mr. Cohen for half the time as well. So as I said, we're continuing with our PBIS system. We, as well as the SEL curriculum, Character Strong, which we have targeted daily instruction and activities that students participate in specific to social and emotional learning. If we can jump over to the intermediate school behavior data. Okay. So looking at the data from last year to this year, there is one important distinction to make, which is that in the month of September in last school year, there was no referral data submitted. So the numbers are going to look much different than they would this year. We've been very intentional about capturing accurate and timely data that allows us to provide supports and interventions for students with social emotional needs, which aligns with our revamped MTSS process, where we can incorporate interventions for students who are having a hard time social emotionally. We additionally, whenever there are student challenges, we make sure we incorporate restorative practices as a regular part of that process, which is important because we feel like students can understand, you know, and have the opportunity to make it right, which ultimately gives them, you know, they can feel good coming back to school and, you know, feeling that they fixed anything that they may have, any mistakes they may have made. So one significant bump in referrals as we kind of dug a little deeper into the data is specific to lunchtime. So last year at the intermediate school, there were only four classes eating lunch in the cafeteria at a time, which operationally presented some challenges in addition to students eating lunch as early as 10 a.m. So this year there, we sort of made the adjustments where mostly there are grade levels at a time eating in there, which means eight classes eating there at once. But 2 weeks ago, we sort of implemented a new systems approach to how we're managing lunches. And I think we've seen a profound reduction in behavioral needs during lunchtime, which I think we're all feeling much better about our process and lunch. So as I said earlier today, we had our positive behavior intervention assemblies, which began today and they'll go tomorrow as well. And we continue to address, as I said, through our SEL curriculum, focusing on building positive relationships and building class culture. So that's it for me. I guess we'll throw to the middle school.
And might we add, we just did the operational walkthrough yesterday, and I would actually say that one of the greatest strengths of the program is their lunch protocols. We didn't get to see the before. We saw yesterday, and it was phenomenal. There were no behavioral issues at all. The lunch was very smooth. The kids were very organized. They had a very soothing voice that was speaking over a mic with them and helping to support them. You saw students doing the jobs. There was not a crew behind them picking up after them. You had students with the trash cans moving them around. You had other students that had the little brooms out and they were cleaning up. You saw them exactly what we want to look for in a school, which is the students taking ownership of the learning in all of the aspects. It was simply phenomenal. So whatever they reflected on to kind of reduce this data over the last 2 weeks, what we saw yesterday was nothing short of spectacular. It's probably the best lunch protocol I've ever seen.
It took some work, but we got there. Yeah. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions? Anyone have any questions? Anyone have any questions for Dr. Phelps? Then we had concerns about some of the discipline. It's sort of been filtering up to us that there were some discipline concerns. And we wanted to make sure that, of course, you're always doing what you can to address them. And it sounds like you are. So no one has any questions? Apparently,
I do have a question. The code of conduct assemblies that you had last month, what's being done? Obviously, it's working. It sounds like behavior issues are at a low, so that's great. What's being done to ensure the students fully understand the code of conduct in its entirety?
So Mr. Cohen, at both the lower school, I believe, and the intermediate school, held assemblies where he sort of went through the code of conduct. I don't remember. They were longer than we typically would do, but it was at least 45 minutes. that he met with teams of students at every grade level. And so really talked through, you know, the respective details of the code of conduct and sort of, you know, included in that key pieces are just expectations. So, you know, I'd be glad to share the his presentation if that would be helpful.
That'd be very helpful. Yeah.
Is this something that it's going to be ongoing to reinforce what that means? So, because I mean, the students, it's sort of an abstract idea of what that means, what conduct is, and learning that.
In the lower school, we were asked to create a classroom contract that aligned with the code of conduct. That was more like student friendly for their age. That makes sense. And then everyone signed it the same way you would sign like the contract of the code of conduct. And then we have it visually in our classrooms, every classroom.
And if they breach that contract, they understand what that means.
Yes.
That's
so a follow-up question. Yeah, just a follow-up question to that. Yeah, as a parent, I recall receiving a copy of the code of conduct about this time last year, and it was 150 pages long. So I'm just curious, have you encountered any gaps in understanding between students? Because I'm sure you are, you know, as comprehensive as possible during the assemblies. It took me a lot longer than 45 minutes to get through the full document. So I'm just curious if there were any gaps in understanding that arose and how those are being addressed.
No, so I think in general, when we're talking about behavior, you know, our main goal is teaching what the expectations are, and, you know, reinforcing those. I think that's where we see, and, you know, I think research supports, that's where culture is built, right? That's where we support students. Like, for example, today, as students were filing in, students were walking close, we say quiet coyotes, you know, we're handing out tickets for that positive behavior as we go in. It's a full systems approach to positive behavior and sort of nurturing that. So, you know, versus talking about consequences and you know, we went over some of that, like I said, in the code of conduct presentations, but in general, our goal is you know, and it aligns with the mission of the school, is really developing and nurturing global citizens that are thoughtful and kind. And, you know, I think a big piece of the code of conduct too was talking about restorative practices and making sure that we give kids the opportunity, if they do make mistakes, to make them right. But, you know, in general, our focus is more on what the expectations are and positively reinforcing them. So, I mean, you know, if students have a hard time, we certainly, you know, we have conversations with them that are a little more in depth because, you know, the situation lends itself to that. But like I said, in general, our focus is more on what the expectations are, meeting the expectations and positively reinforcing them.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Dr. Peltz? Thank you very much. Go pick up your child now.
Thank you. I got to get there by dark, so luckily it's closed.
Good evening, y'all.
Adrian?
The middle school is excited to welcome our current and prospective families to our open house tomorrow night. We hope to see everyone there. To show all the exciting work that our students have been accomplishing over the last couple months. Talking about our code of conduct and discipline, the middle school is implementing a safety initiative involving cell phones, which in turn will increase student engagement. A letter is going to be sent home to families tomorrow. And we are also going to each and every classroom to discuss this further. Just to give you a brief overview, what this includes is basically there will be no cell phones in the middle school. So cell phones will be turned off in a student's backpack throughout the entire school day and on buses. We would like our students to engage with each other. And if any cell phone is caught on a student's person, the parent will have to come pick up that cell phone. We find that, especially in middle school, and I'm going to speak for middle school, a lot of our students love to perform for their fellow peers. And these performances can sometimes be outlandish. So by putting away the cell phones and actually engaging with one another, we hope to increase rigor in our content and student engagement. Upcoming activities in the middle school. Obviously, we have our open house tomorrow. We have a pep rally, a school-wide middle school pep rally, where we will be inviting the high school parade band. We will have, hopefully, Ozzie the Owl will be there. We're going to be having a lot of games between students and faculty. Just to bring a little joy to our students and also expose them to our high school and what they have to offer. It's going to be emceed by some of our high school students. We welcome all of you to attend. It's going to be a really good time. Parent conferences are coming up.
When is the pep rally going to be?
It is the 25th. It's Wednesday from 9 to 11. So if you have not attended a middle school pep rally, it is definitely a sight to see. If you're sensitive, if you are noise sensitive, you might want to bring some earplugs. But other than that, it is a sight to see. And we welcome you to our tug of war battle between faculty and students. It is a lot of fun. I also heard that we are doing the human version of Hungry Hungry Hippo. So if you haven't seen that, please join us. We're looking forward to our parent conferences, which are October 26th and 27th. And we will be hosting our annual middle school bonfire on November 19th. So we do have a lot of exciting things taking place. I have not been as fancy as lower school and intermediate school, but I can discuss our discipline data. Last year at this time, we had 62 referrals in the middle school. This year, we have 193. Now, before you fall out of your chairs, there is a reason for that. We have implemented a new MTSS behavioral system. So we are asking our teachers to document every behavior so that we may better support our students through the MTSS process in behavior. Questions?
What is MTSS?
So it's basically our multi-tiered system of support. It's our behavioral intervention.
So it will follow them like going up.
I can talk about that one. So I'll chime in here. So we did start our new MTSS problem solving team. So every Wednesday, each one of the schools has a day where we do problem solving team and we discuss students. We have a process where if there's a concern for a student, teachers can put that into a what we call a problem solving request. We review it. They have to give us data as well to support the needs. And then we collaborate with the teacher to identify how we can best support the student academically or behavioral. What we have started doing, because, you know, it was the beginning of the year, we really shouldn't have we should be collecting the data still, but the first one that we had at each school, we haven't done the high school, because high school's next Tuesday. I asked our deans and student advisors to look through the referrals. We actually went through each referral. We looked at who the students were, how many referrals, if they were a student receiving special education service and had behavioral goals in their IEP. And then we looked at kids who were having some behavioral needs as well too. We came up with goals for them. Then we came up with how we are going to collect the data and what we are going to implement, who's going to follow up, and how to best support them. So this will be the system K through 12 that we're following. As we go through, we kind of start seeing who those high flyers are, and then putting more intense, if we need to, supports in support them within the classroom, within the unstructured environments, wherever their needs are. So that began, it actually has been really great. There's been great collaboration that's gone on. Our counselors have been part of it as well, too. So has Lori Jones, our family therapy crisis. So, you know, especially for that social emotional part, we're getting a lot of great ideas to support our students from different voices. So I'm very happy with the way it's going.
And now with all that,
meet at the ones that aren't. So like dress code. I understand dress code is important, but that's not something we need to put a tier of support in for. So like if we had like three students who were written up for a dress code infraction, that is not a significant behavior or pattern of behavior we need to approach.
Yes. So I'd like to add that with that said, out of the 193 referrals, only 13% of them were level 5 or higher infractions. So many of them were small infractions.
And level 5 is fighting.
So level 5 would be things that would get you out of school suspension. So fighting, basically fighting. It could be something like we've had a couple of misuse of technology, but in a very inappropriate way, things like that.
Who else is a part of the problem solving team? You said the family crisis therapist, counselors.
So each school is a little bit different. So you guys have a little bit. So this time at the lower school, our ED was part of it. We did go over the DSUIF caseload that she supports here did now. We had the two counselors down there. We had Dr. Davis. Dr. Yarum was in and out. She was supporting some of the kids. We did have one or two teachers who had put in a request. So what we do is we look at the request, and in there we ask when their planning is so that we can send an invite during their planning so they can come and attend, talk about the student. Who else was there? I have it documented in the, so go into that folder that we have. It'll tell you who was there. Chastity was there. Our instructional coach was there. So we also put what participants were at each student discussion as well.
Okay, thank you.
So this is being implemented in each school.
In each school. It looks a little bit different.
Right.
Just because there's different players, but yeah, K-12. And it's one of the same regulations that we now are, we really have a good handle on and a good system.
Anything else to add, Adrienne?
I think I've said plenty, but if there's any questions, I'd be more than willing to answer.
Any questions?
Adrienne, are you seeing the same kind of pattern with a few kids causing a significant more percentage of the referrals than the bulk of them? There's more one-offs than there are repeat offenders, but those repeat offenders are repeating.
We do have some high flyers, so I can give you the numbers. The bulk right now is in sixth grade. They had 93 referrals. Out of those 93, it was actually 40 students. So it's not that we had 93 students receiving one referral each. It was 40 students. And yes, you have some that are higher flying than others.
High flyers, I like that term. They're very positive.
There are high frequent, whatever you like to call them. They're my friends that I see a lot.
I can see you smiling as you say that. So it is appreciated.
This is something I'd like to point out because I think this is important. So there are currently, like I said, 40 in sixth grade. In eighth grade, there's 25. I've been in education now more years than I like to count, but this is my 22nd year. And the majority, the bulk has been in middle school. And what I've tended to see is it starts strong in sixth grade. And by the time they're in eighth grade, you see a maturity. So you see a huge drop. And that's what we want to see. You know, we get them in sixth grade, they're testing the waters, their hormones are pumping, and they're coming in. And through the work of an amazing team, amazing teachers, amazing support staff, by the time they get to eighth grade, they're not quite perfect yet. We count on high school for that. But by the time they're in eighth grade, there's definitely a decrease in problem behaviors.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Before we move on, and I know that this isn't normal, but I do have to do this. I'd like to give a huge shout out to the high school. My daughter is a high school senior. I've been pulling my hair out with college because there was only two colleges that she was looking at and she was fixated on them. She came to my office today with 15 universities that she would like to attend because there was someone that visited the high school today and talked to her about all the open possibilities that she had and helped her expand her boundaries, talked to her about financial aid, talked to her about scholarships, taught her how to fill out these applications, which thank you so much, Ms. Lipson, because I was lost and I was terrified. And now my daughter is like, I've got this, Mom. You don't have to help me. Just give me money. So thank you. Huge shout out to the high school for that. Thank you.
They're always going to want more money, of course. Yeah. So I will talk a little bit about College Application Week in my report as well. But we had a very exciting...
Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you. You might hear one or two little babies yelling in the background. So we had a really exciting September and October. Our homecoming was a huge success. We had over 225 students attending the dance. So it was a very well-attended and exciting dance. We had a lot of support from PTO with our dance. So thank you to PTO. I don't know if anybody from PTO is on today, but it was wonderful to have them. They did all of our decorations and paid for our DJ, which was phenomenal. It was great for our students. We also had a great administration of the PSAT and the PSAT NMSQT. So all of our students from OHA 8th graders through 11th graders were able to take those tests. We look forward to getting those results back, and then they will also take those tests in the spring, so we'll be able to see their growth over the school year and truly see the results of all the hard work that our teachers are pouring into them each and every day. Today, we welcomed our principal for the day. So in conjunction with the Delaware State Chamber of Commerce, we have participated in this program for the past 4 years. But we had the athletic director for Goldie Beacom today as our principal for the day. His name is Jeremy Benoit. And he came and he toured all of our career programs and also worked did a round table with our students, speaking to them about the opportunities available at Goldie Beacom and also just about the K-12 space and his work that he has done over there in Pike Creek. We also had our first CSA share was available to our staff who signed up today. I brought home multiple bags of romaine and basil and thyme and chard. So lots of things to cook with. So our CSA is through our food studies pathway. It is entirely student run, and the students did all the work in packaging, growing, and putting together and then delivering that CSA out to us. So that's something that we hope to open up to our community as they get more comfortable with it. The fall share was open to staff members, and then they're planning on doing a winter share and a spring share as well. In terms of the high school's discipline data update, this year in the high school, we added over 100 students. So we graduated we graduated 70 seniors last year, and we have 170 new freshmen. So we added a large amount of students this year. And so in turn, we've also increased the number of referrals in the high school. However, the number of serious referrals still remain very low. And so Adrian spoke about level 5 or higher offenses. I'm even looking lower than that, like level 4 offenses, which are in-school suspension. We have fewer than 10% of our referrals have resulted in any sort of suspension. If we look at the raw data and the numbers, similar to what the intermediate and lower did in Mark's presentation, we have 20 students who are making up a larger portion of our referrals, with 96% of students having 0 or 1 referral. So the vast majority of students are not getting any referrals. We just have a few, about 20, that we are working with more closely to make sure that they are on board with everything that we need to do in the high school. In terms of upcoming high school events, our high school students have already attended more than 10 field trips and guest speaker events this school year. So we are out in the community, we are going places, college tours, field trips, pathway program tours, all sorts of things. So our students are out and about, and they are everywhere in the community already. This week, as Ms. Rodriguez spoke about, is college application week. So over the last couple of days, we've had our seniors getting targeted support in their ELA classes for their post-secondary plans. So not just college, but just a post-secondary plan in general, but definitely supporting students with completing their college applications, learning about financial aid, and finding dedicated time for them to do that. I'm sorry, was there a question? Okay. Sorry, I heard something. We are also collaborating with Duffy's Hope, which is an outside organization, and they're going to be bringing Project Prevent and Project Drive to support our students, especially in the 9th grade, that maybe need some additional support or are still trying to figure out how high school life works and how to be a successful high school student. We are really excited to welcome a lot of new OWLs tomorrow at our open house and groundbreaking event. We have some high school students who are going to be participating in the groundbreaking event. And then we have a ton of high school students who are volunteering and supporting the open house activities. So we would love to have as many people come out. And especially a shout out to our current 7th and 8th grade students. We would love to have you come see what the high school has to offer as you start to figure out what you might want to do for high school. We hope you stay with us. We also have conferences being held next week. So our open conferences for anybody who does not have an appointment are available from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. on Thursday and from 8 to 9 a.m. on Friday. So if you were not able to get an appointment for a conference, we have the open conferences happening as well. And then lastly, we have a travel request. Our high school baseball team is requesting approval to attend the annual Myrtle Beach trip from March 14th through March 18th. The team plays several scrimmage games and practices with high school teams from around the country, including actually a lot of other Delaware teams, but they all go down to Myrtle Beach for the trip. And that is all I have.
We actually have a lot of travel. I'm so sorry. I was just going to point out that we have a lot of travel requests.
At the bottom, yeah.
Yes, once you guys have your questions for the high school, if we can move to that.
Yeah, very, very busy. Good job. You really jumped back in, didn't you?
I feel like I never left, but that's okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Does anybody have any questions for Ashley? Any questions? Great.
You know where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Adrian?
Yes. So we have a lot of out of state. The CIA team. Wait, you guys scrolled. Wait, why are you still scrolling? Hold on. I can only.
Trying to get to that.
There we go. The CIA team, our curriculum associates with iReady, have a Mid-Atlantic Leadership Symposium in Philadelphia on October 19th and 20th, which is tomorrow. Elias requires board approval to represent OCS for the YAS conference, which, by the way, we are kicking butt in, if I'm allowed to say that. And our semifinalists, his announcement in Cleveland, Ohio on 10-9. It was announced on 10-9 and 10-11. Airfare and accommodations are provided by the YAS project. Lower School Kindergarten, Milburn Orchard, PA, field trip October 11th?
That one we approved last month because we went already.
But it looks like November 2nd as well. The sixth grade one was approved. 76ers game was Fargo.
That was approved.
Okay. How about NYC for seniors?
Got that.
It starts with 11.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that. So because Elias is a semifinalist, YAS Accelerator, Miami, Florida, I'd like to throw out there again that I'd love to be a tour guide, but I totally understand if the board does not approve me being a tour guide. We have Elias NYC, YAS Prize finalist announcement, intermediate school music teacher, National Music Conference. I'm not sure where that is, but I'm sure we'll add that information shortly. March 14th, varsity baseball in Myrtle Beach, as Ashley said. For middle school, we have November 15th, Cupcake Sisters in Glen Mills, PA for 7th and 8th grade culinary arts students. And May 8th, field trip to Pennsylvania, Colonial Plantation for 8th graders.
Anything else?
As of yet, no. But you know, a lot more is going
to
be coming.
More to come.
Yeah.
I hear a motion.
I'm just going to move. We approve all the travel as presented.
I second.
Bridget seconds. Any discussion?
Have fun.
Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried. Have fun.
Good stuff there.
Yeah. So you get to go to Miami next?
Miami is where I get to pitch the school for the finals.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Just to be clear, you did not approve me being his tour guide, correct?
That was not part of the request. I didn't see right. that on the list.
You're right. I revoke it.
And then December 13th is the announcement in New York City.
In Times Square.
They have some sort of big, this is a pretty well-funded foundation.
Wow, that's awesome.
We had the Beach Boys at the last, giving us a live concert the last time.
Out of here.
Are they live or are they?
Live, and they are alive.
Actually, they could go into one of these. Come on, they're still doing okay.
I mean, I love their songs.
Good. No, they sounded great. Big video. Okay. It's pretty good.
Did Jackson remember
that scene? I don't know the Beach Boys. I just don't know songs.
I've seen. You don't know about that.
I recorded a couple.
I met Jesse. It's
John Stamos. Oh, that Jesse.
Yeah, Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
Same
one.
Much the hair. Couple other things that I guess I'll talk about here really quickly. Facilities wise, we're revamping all of the foyers, and we're putting up the signage everywhere, so we have complete signage everywhere. And the facilities is working in a lot of different areas with a lot of different projects, HVAC systems. We have the doors, which I think the permit just went through, right? The doors finally.
Yes,
we have the security doors. In building 23, we have the elevator project over there going on. Obviously, we are in the process of $5 million spent on the fields.
So the facility is busy, busy, busy. They're painting right now as well, in addition to the operation of what they're trying to do here with our buildings. So we have to shout them out because they're doing a lot of work right now. They're also, John, setting up the architectural RFP for Building 27 design, which is an important one. We also have added now the Grail Gym to our maintenance schedule, making sure that that facility is up to date and that it's functional for our kiddos. So yeah, a lot for them to do as well. So we want to shout out our facilities team for covering all these things and then so quickly adjusting some of these things so that we can have the proper environment for our students, which we believe the branding is a very important part of the mission, vision, being visible everywhere is a very important part of that. So they're doing all that work for us and we thank them for that.
Do you want to talk a little bit about,
I was going to do that for the good of the school.
Okay, and same thing with the award that...
good of the school. Time.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, Joanna is with us, but...
She has sent me a little report. She was not able to be with us.
Are going to give the report, thank you.
Yeah, she sent me a quick report. Kalispera se olus. On the 4th of October, we held our first monthly Greek program meeting. These meetings offer an ongoing opportunity to meet and discuss topics related to the program K-12. This time we had immersion and non-immersion parents join us, and they took the opportunity to discuss how they have been experiencing the program through their kids' lens. These monthly meetings strengthen our Greek program community and are open to all parents and guardians. So remember to join us every first Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Reminders and the Zoom link are sent a couple of days prior to the meeting. 10 days from today, on October 28th, it's our Ochi Day, one of the two national Greek holidays. This year, we will commemorate the day on Monday 30th, Halloween 1 this year. Lower and intermediate schools will celebrate in their classes by doing crafts, learning songs, and talking about the importance of saying no when it's necessary. In middle and high schools, a group of students from all grades, 6 through 12, put together a program that they will proudly present to their peers on Monday, October 30th in the Blue Box Theater. Also note that the same day, Monday, October 30th, there is a $2 dress down to benefit and support the Greek program. Finally, at the beginning of next month, on November 6th, in collaboration with the Greek Ministry of Education and the Federation of Hellenic American Educators, we organize an online gathering of all Greek American charter schools in the United States. There are actually 6 charters in total, Odyssey included, and they are all on the East Coast. The purpose of this event is to present our programs to the community and to the Greek Ministry of Education, to build a stronger network between us, to exchange policies and future plans, and ultimately to work on common solutions. Dr. Lekaku, the Dean of the Greek program, will represent our school at this summit. That's all.
Do you know anything about that, Eva, if that's going to be online or in person?
Read it for the first time. I think it says on Zoom. It's going to be virtual. Yeah.
Excellent. We won't ask you any questions. All right. Who do we have next? Our financial reports. Jeff.
Hello.
Come on up.
Anna. Good evening, everyone. Good community. We're going to discuss the monthly report in September 30th. So the period ending September 30th, 2023 represents 3 months or 25% of the fiscal year. Wild. The preliminary budget revenues, as previously discussed, are $45.9 million, and revenues collected to date are $28.6 million, which represents 62% of the total budgeted revenues for the year. Revenues received during September were typical for the state of Delaware charter school fiscal cycle. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the details there in just a minute. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budget expenditure is $39.1 million, and expenses to date are $10.3 million, representing 28.3% of the budget, which is actually slightly ahead of where we were at this point last year at 32% of the budget. As we talked about last meeting, the annual financial statement and single audit were submitted to the state by the due date of October 1st. Odyssey had its fourth straight year without any findings and met every major bond covenant and state metric. Local funding preloads from four districts were received during September, which made up the largest portion of the local district funding received during September. The preloads represented 35% of the payables owed from the district to each charter school. The remaining districts are expected to roll in over this month, followed by the final distribution after the completion of the Unicount process. Speaking of the Unicount, the September 30th Unicount for OCS finalized at 2,192 students, representing 97% of the charter approval amount and a little more than 98% of the preliminary budgeted amount. As it stands, projecting local revenue from districts to not be at a deficit, actually a small surplus from the preliminary budget, even with not quite meeting the target from the enrollment standpoint. An in-depth breakdown will be completed during October, as well as a forward-looking cash projection for next month's meeting. As mentioned, Odyssey Charter has been awarded $250,000 as semi-finalists for the YAS grant. This competitive grant is awarded to schools who demonstrate excellence in education and a commitment to innovation. The grant was written to assist with the costs associated with the renovation of building number 27. OCS will be creating and submitting tuition tax bills for the previous fiscal year and projected next fiscal year. Submission is due by November 15th. At this point, the last 3 years of tuition tax bills have not been processed, but our understanding is there's outstanding litigation with the state for that. To date, $508,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the budgeted amount of $1.7 million, which will be increasing to $2.4 million in the final budget from the carryover project. As mentioned in the capital realm, SCG Fields is completing final contracting and scheduling preliminary survey work for the turf field project. And they will be attending the ceremonial groundbreaking tomorrow at 5 p.m. out on the field. The high school front entrance project is nearing completion as construction on the sidewalk ramp actually begins tomorrow. And the elevator shaft project's permitting is almost near completion as well, which will follow the front entrance piece. And that's all for the monthly report.
Are there any questions? Any questions? Do I hear a motion?
I move we approve the monthly web report for September.
Second.
All seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone.
And
I have a question for Jeff that is not for the specific budget for this month. If
sure.
Like, should I ask now or later?
I will do it now. We're under finance.
So I know that many teachers have asked you this question, Jeff, and you have been kind enough to respond to them, but they came forward to me and they asked for more clarity. Nobody's clear yet about a deduction on our salaries. And the question that they want me to ask is, does it have anything to do with the 27th pay?
That's a complex answer, but I will say not directly, but indirectly from a scheduling standpoint. Yes. So an email was sent to all staff towards the end of August that was sort of trying to explain generically a complex situation that for our grandfathered employees, which are employees that started prior to last school year for 10-month employees, Odyssey had been implementing a half pay, completing a contract and half pay starting a contract in the final pay of August. With the state moving the start of the new contract year to September 22nd of 2023, which pushed it out an additional pay period. And what the 27th pay was doing was covering the gap that was then created with the completion of a contract on August 25th and the new contract starting on September 22nd. So what the school and the state agreed to do for the 27th pay was on September 8th, complete a full pay of the previous contract amount. What was happening is that in a normal district or charter school, the last pay in August would just be the final portion of contract. At Odyssey, it was half of the old, half of the new. So in order to make sure that our grandfathered employees did not receive just a half pay in August, we also fronted half pay of the new contract. And so what's occurring, starting in the September 22nd pay and progressing over the next 26 pay cycles, is that there's a 126 deduction back to the school for fronting that pay in the August 25th pay. And I've explained this to, it is a very confusing sort of situation. I provided salary calculations for anyone that has asked a question about it to illustrate that by September 6th of 2024, which is the final pay of the current contract year, each 10-month employee will have received all owed compensation per the CBA contract and the 27th pay together by that point.
Is it showing up as a deduction on their pay stub, or is it?
Yes, it shows as a negative. Yes, it does show as a negative amount. And again, I urge anyone.
It's still confusing. It's confusing. Excuse me?
I was going to say, I would encourage anyone that's coming to you with these questions to come to me, and I'd be happy to meet with them and kind of walk them through it individually.
Yeah.
But this prevented all the grandfather teachers from missing half of a pay.
Yeah. Correct.
For the first half
and of the then starting next school year, the school year 24-25 pay cycle, every Odyssey now with the rest of the state districts and charters will all get full starting pay for 26 pays the rest of the year. No more half pays to start the year, end the year. It'll just be full pays throughout.
Jeff, was this situation unique to Odyssey, or all schools had to do the same thing?
It was unique to Odyssey because of the way that Odyssey had been set up prior to my arrival, probably prior to even being on the Barley Mill campus, honestly. And I don't know if it was a function of trying to be creative in the ways to compensate for employees that were coming on immigrant visas to compensate them earlier than a normal school district normally would. Because right now, all new teachers to Odyssey and all new teachers to charter schools and districts within Delaware, their first pay was not until the September 22nd pay at all. There was no pay. If you came out of college, you didn't have a 27th pay from somebody else. So what we're doing now is aligning with the rest of the state salary schedule.
If you would like to send an additional explanation on this, because I understand many people came directly to you, you responded to them, they are still a little foggy about this situation, and explain it again, I would appreciate it.
Maybe communicating to deans and...
It's a little, I don't want to push compensation conversations.
Or maybe asking the deans to say, okay, if you have any questions, go see Jen, because it is a complicated communication. Because I think the way he explained it now is very clear.
I think so too, but our schools also with language barriers and things like that. So
I mean, if at least I think if the deans say, okay, if you don't understand, go sit down and have a one-on-one with Jeff, and he'll sit down and explain it.
And one of the things I tried to do with the August communication was I included a template example of what a salary calculation would look like for someone that's, I think it would, the example was bachelor's degree, step 14, and what that means for them and what they should expect to see in their pay for the life cycle of the next 26 pay periods, showing, illustrating that the full amount will be received by the end, even if as part of the machination, there is a small 126 deduction per pay. It's because of the fronted amount in the August pay. So yeah, Eva, I would encourage if there's any specific, I would definitely prefer to have the conversation individually than in a group setting, because I'd like to talk to the employee specifically about what their paycheck will look like, and it's not appropriate to do that in a group setting. But yeah, anything I can do to try to assist, I will do.
Thank you.
Yep.
Committee reports.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, now CDOC.
Hey, good evening, everybody. CDOC met this evening. We didn't have a quorum in September. People were a little bit busy in September, but we had a quorum this evening. We had two new CDOC members, which was wonderful to have. And we went over the same web report. We reviewed the PCAR transactions, and we asked questions. And the meeting was over in about 20-25 minutes. So it was a good meeting.
Sweet, love it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't think any of the other committees have any thing to add. PTO, is there anyone from the PTO on who would like to add anything?
For the fundraising committee, do we have a rough total for the gala? Or is it too soon?
No, it was something around 160,000.
Okay.
The significant portion of that from a specific donor.
That's okay.
So we'll get a report.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll report like the next week or something.
Yeah. I think that's probably.
Yeah, I think they probably have it squarely in there.
Okay, good. Anyone from the PTO?
No.
Okay. We're up to good at the school.
Okay. So good at the school. We are going to talk a little bit more about the gas bracket.
Yeah.
So that we can all understand exactly what it is that we are celebrating about the school. A lot of things to celebrate, but you know, it's quite an important piece as well. So this is the description that I'm posting from the website about us as a semifinalist. And what it reads is that it's the first dual language English and Greek immersion school program in Delaware. It follows a two-teacher model with one instructor teaching in English, while the other teaches in Greek, with core academic content split by subject area between Greek and the American teacher. The Greek teacher provides instruction in math, science, and Greek language arts. The English teacher teaches social studies and English language arts. The program is free to all students who enroll in Odyssey Charter. Medical graduates are expected to have credits towards foreign language requirements as a result of it. Odyssey would use the $1 million to strip it and build out basically Building 27, is what they're saying over here, so that we can enroll more students into the innovative immersion program, which we hope to expand both horizontally and vertically into the K-12 campus. So, what they are rewarding is the innovation in the Greek program specifically. There's something to be said about a program that is a dual immersion program where all of this, almost 100% of the students are not native speakers. Whereas in other dual immersion programs, you have a decent amount of the population that's actually native speakers that are in the immersion program. The thing that makes this so unique is that it's almost 100%. Non-native speakers in a language that is also not a consistently spoken language in the country, in the host country. So, I mean, Spanish, for example, is a language that is spoken in this country, across the country,
There's exposure to it. There's TV shows about it, stuff like that. That's not something you see with freaks. So that makes the results quite extraordinary in terms of what the program is able to produce. The Yas Foundation looks at four main tenets. The first is sustainability. And by sustainability, we're not talking about green initiatives. We're talking about the sustainability of the model itself. And then it looks at specific aspects of how you create a sustainable model. It looks at transformational type of education, which obviously a classics education is based in Greek language and the philosophy of Hellenic education is quite transformational. It looks at outcomes, which is the outstanding educational outcomes. And then it looks at permissionless education. And what we mean by permissionless is an organization that does not provide constraints to access to the entire community. We talk about that and celebrate that a lot at Odyssey, that we don't have entrance exams, we don't have 5-mile radii, we don't have constraints that prevent students from coming in. We have a very transparent lobby system, which makes us a permissionless educational institution. And this kind of innovation is the stuff that we're looking for and why we are being awarded as a semifinalist amongst all these thousands of schools nationwide. So I believe it's a huge accomplishment for the organization. It puts us on a national stage. All the people that are part of our legislation, our national legislation, have received letters already about Odyssey Charter School and their placement at this level. We are on a national stage, which makes what we're doing so important. And why it's important to celebrate it and continue to provide support for the proliferation of this program, because it's causing not only this national attention, but it's actually a proof of concept for the model that we have in place, which creates a sustainability that could be a long-term commitment, not only for Delaware, but other states or counties or regions to follow it. We shall see.
Unbelievable.
It is quite unbelievable. I did not go into that night thinking that we were a shoo-in to become a semifinalist, because it was quite competitive. And there are a lot of very impressive organizations that are in there. And you know, even getting recognized as a quarterfinalist, we're the only school in Delaware that's ever been recognized, public, private, or charter, from the Yas Foundation. And then to come in, and I think we were the second or the third announced.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stood up and I had that bewilderment about me. Like, did they just call us? And so it was quite phenomenal. But in having understood a little bit more about what they're looking for and what this organization stands for, we understand why they chose Odyssey, and we are proud to be a representative. And it goes hand in hand with what was already recognized by S&P Global last month. So this is not a surprise to us anymore. This is just who we are.
Congratulations.
And please vote. You got to go vote for us every day now. Everybody needs to vote every single day. Once you register your email address, voting is one click every single day. It's another $100,000 if we win the Parent Choice Award.
Wow.
So it's just super important. I stop every day and I tell everybody, drop and vote. You stop, drop, and vote. Because it's that important. And obviously this really fuels some of our initiatives, especially the Building 27 project, which is the explicit stated piece for this grant.
Anything else you wanted to?
There was one more thing for the school. You asked me that.
I have just Melissa Tracy is one of the top 50 finalists of the $1 million Global Teacher Prize for 2023. She was selected from 7,000 nominations and applicants from 130 countries around the world. So good luck to Melissa and congratulations for representing Odyssey so beautifully. So do we have someone who we need to start dripping out all this good information to push down all the bad? Who's doing that? Are we hiring a firm? Are we, do we have someone internally who's going to be doing our PR for us? What are we going to do? What are we going to do to get this news out?
We have contracting for professional service that assists with some of that outward marketing on social media and contacting the news media outlets.
I want it in the news journal.
Yes. That's in draft form. I think we were sent it late this afternoon, I think. So that will be happening even with those.
Yeah, we need to keep dripping this out. It's like, for the more of this good news we get out, the more we won't get any questions about anything else. Wonderful. Wonderful. Good. Anyone have any questions about either of those two items? Anything else they want to add for the good of the school? All right, well, we do have one item we do need to discuss in executive session. So I think we're going to be moved. And then we always have. Don't worry, we're not going to leave you hanging. Are you moving this?
Reading room now. I move that we move to executive session.
Second.
Bridget seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're moving. Okay, we are back in session. We have two items to review out of closed session. Do I hear a motion for the first item?
I move to approve the personnel item discussed during the executive session.
Are there any other questions or any other discussion?
I second.
Oh, Ken seconds it too. Any other questions or any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried. And the second item.
I move to approve the legal item discussed.
Okay, and Bridget, second that one. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carried. Any other items for discussion? Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Bridget and?
Second.
Joel seconds. Thank you all for attending. And we'll see you all tomorrow. See you all tomorrow at the open house, except for Georgia. He's not going to be here.